This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
And prior to this Supreme Court decision and after?
Well, I can, Joanne. What you saw was a floodgate of money come pouring in. For the first time in history, as I said, foreign corporate money is legally spent in elections. And, of course, in the recent election cycle, what you saw is a handful of people, approximately 20 people, spent over half of the money to actually determine the presidential election, both during the Republican primary and the general election. And in fact, if the numbers that we've been able to track are clear, approximately 0.005% of the population accounted for over half of all the money raised and spent to try to influence the election. So what we're seeing is a genuine codification of the idea of plutocracy, that the wealthy elite completely control the political process.
And so tell us a little bit about your coalition. The Move to Amend Coalition is a national organization.
It is, Joanne, and I'm really happy that you asked the question because I want to underscore, Move to Amend is a multiracial, multi-ethnic coalition of groups and individuals from across the country. Our national leadership team, we actually have more women than men. We have more people of color than white folks. We are from Florida up to the Pacific Northwest, Texas, North Carolina, Atlanta, Georgia, Utah, New York City, Madison, Wisconsin. The point is we're ordinary Americans, and we look like America. The second thing that I want to say is that Move to Amend organizations are the founding members, like the Alliance for Democracy and the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom and the Program on Corporations, Law, and Democracy, and other groups have actually been working on corporate constitutional rights for over 15 years. We didn't just spring into this as a result of Citizens United. And, Joanne, I want to use this opportunity to really dig deeper, because it's corporations are not just exercising power today. Corporations are not just influencing elections today. Corporations are ruling us because they have completely controlled not only the political process, but economics, the social institutions, the healthcare systems, the educational systems, and KBOO listeners know that. And it's not just about money and elections. It's the idea that corporate lawyers can go into court and overturn any democratically enacted law, environmental protection laws, worker safety laws, public health laws, as well as campaign finance laws. So the Move to Amend Coalition is the only grouping that is actually clear and unequivocal. We must abolish in its entirety the entire legal doctrine that allows a corporation to claim to have inherent unalienable constitutional rights, and abolish the equally odious, also court-created, also illegitimate doctrine that money is speech. There's two prongs to our constitutional amendment, and KBOO listeners can rest assured we will not waver, we will not compromise on the principles that it's going to take to build a real democracy movement in the United States of America.
So let me just say, I love your energy, David, and it's you feel this to the core of your being, I can tell. So
well, you're right, Joanne. My grandfather was a Baptist preacher, and my mama often said, she said, you know, son, you and your papa may not agree on the principles of it, but you've got his spirit and fire for the work you do, and I'm proud of you for it.
And that's the kind of organizers we need out in the community. And so there are ways that people can get involved. So let's start with, you have a petition online that so far has a couple of 100,000 signatures, almost 300,000 signatures. And if people went to movetoamend.org, they could sign that petition. But I want to make sure.
Right. And I want to stop for a moment and underscore what you've just done, that yes, please do sign up, because that is an organizing petition, Joanne. Okay. If anybody signs up on that petition, when you do so, you'll get contacted by us, so that we can plug you into local organizing wherever you are, whether it's in Portland, whether it's in Salem, whether it's in Washington State, whether it's maybe you're listening on KBOO.fm and you don't live anywhere in the listening area. Well, we can still plug you in. So if you're hearing this interview and you're excited please sign up, move10men.org, so that we can be in touch with you and get you plugged into this growing movement.
Wonderful. And David, I want you to know I put that contact info on both the KBOO website as well as the Voices from the Edge Facebook page. So,
all right. So you're an organizer as well.
Yeah, right. Can't help myself. And so, David, let's talk about the convergence that's happening this weekend at PCC Cascade, I believe.
Yes, that's right. We're at the Portland Community College Cascade campus May 3 through 5 this weekend.
And you, what are you going to be doing there?
Well, I want to give you some context, Joanne. These are Move to Mend does regional gatherings across the United States. These events bring together Move to Mend activists and supporters from throughout the region of the country. So we're having one in the Pacific Northwest, we're having one in the Midwest, one in the South, one in New England. So this weekend is Portland, Oregon, and the whole point is to amplify and multiply the power of all the great local organizing that's already going on to build deeper organizational connections and, frankly, to kick it up a notch, to really help us continue not only to build broadly the movement, to really go down deeper and confront the need to centralize race and gender oppression in our organizing work, to make sure that we've got a plan to actually win. Because I'll be clear to you, Joanne, at Move to Mend, we're not just about educating people. We're about educating and empowering people and ultimately building a movement that will successfully amend the Constitution. That's not an easy thing to do, but we got a plan to do it. And on that note, I really want to underscore that we have an incredible arrangement of speakers, not just from Move to Mend, but Monica Beamer of Sisters of the Road, a fantastic local organization that many of your KBOO listeners are probably familiar with.
Oh, yes.
We have Alisa Macy, who is with the World Conference on Indigenous Peoples, who is going to be speaking. We have Edgar Franks from Community to Community, which is a group in Washington State that's coming in. We may or may not have Lisa Loving, your own Lisa Loving of KBOO Radio. I know that she's got another event on Saturday that KBOO is actually conducting, and I want to respect that. So
yeah.
Lisa was going to come. I don't know that she's going to be able to come. We may get another KBOO participant. We may not. But, you know, we love and respect KBOO and the process that y'all are going through. So, but the point is that it's not just Move to Amend. It is people within the social movements, from across the social movements, we're inviting in to help us strategize, to lay the foundation for the groundwork of what it's going to actually take to make real the promise of American democracy.
And
it's super exciting.
So, David, is this open to the public? Can anybody come?
Absolutely. Anybody can come. We do ask that you sign up at movetoamend.org and then just click on the site for the Portland Convergence, because if you register, we'll be able to make sure to accommodate you and so forth. But if folks are, for whatever reason, are not able to, you can definitely simply just show up. The event begins formally on Friday, May 3rd at 6:30 p.m., and then we'll start Saturday, May 4th at 9 a.m., and we go all day on Saturday. Again, as you said, Joanne, the event is at the Portland Community College Cascade Campus at 705 North Killingsworth, and we're happy to take walk-ups as well.
Excellent. And so, David, I'm really happy to hear you say that this is a multiracial, multicultural movement that's really inclusive of a whole bunch of communities. How are you ensuring that the movement continues to lead with those values?
Well, if you go to the website movetoamend.org, you'll see on our materials a What We Believe statement. And we say explicitly, clearly up front that we believe the United States of America is currently racist, sexist, and class oppressive, and that it will take a multiracial movement to build the world that we want. And I say that because the way you centralize race, Joanne, is you centralize race. you don't make it an add-on, right?
Oh, my goodness.
You actually acknowledge the role of white supremacy and the history of imperialism from the very founding of this country and how it's been integrated into the very fabric of current American society, and we deal with it. And I'm not saying that in a flip manner. I'm saying the way we're ensuring doing it is we are insisting from Jump Street that that conversation be part of all conversations about Move to Amend. And, you know, I say this with kindness to other efforts and other groups and so forth. It saddens me that not enough good organizations who are doing good work are willing to actually integrate an anti-racist component into its program and projects from Jump Street.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that that's part of the reason why too many groups end up trying to go back after the fact and add it rather than just start in embracing the reality of white supremacy and what that means. And, again, not to do it in a way to shame white people, but as a way to actually empower all of us to understand the importance of genuine respect of multiculturalism, genuine respect for how the interconnectedness of racism and sexism and classism have actually hurt all of us, and that then we can honestly work together because we have a shared analysis.
Well, David, I have to say it's fabulous to listen to someone talk who could be me.
Thank you so much.
And I just love that philosophy, and I love when I'm able to do a program where I learn something in the process. And I have to say, I didn't know a lot about the Move to Amend Coalition. I knew about the effort, but did not know about the coalition, and I appreciate that you are intentional about the work that's ahead. And so, again, for people who may just be tuning in, there will be a convergence conference on May 3rd through 5th at PCC Cascade. Do you know what building it's going to be in? Is it Smith Center?
Yes, we're in the Moriarty Auditorium.
Uh-huh. Moriarty Arts Auditorium, and that's right on the corner of Albina and Killingsworth. So excellent. And so people can go online to movetoamend.org for more information to sign the petition. And so how's the organizing work going, David?
Well, you know, Joanne, as a hard-nosed organizer, what I know is that we need a good analysis and a good theory to start. But if we just stay with the theory, we stay in the coffee shop.
That's right.
So we gotta have a good theory and then get out into the communities. And as you already pointed out, Move to Amend that did not even exist before 2010, we're nearing 300,000 active participants. Even deeper than that, Joanne, we have over 175 local affiliates, that is, ordinary citizens who have come together to make Move to Amend the key part of the work that they're doing. We also have what we call partnering affiliates, which are peace and justice groups that have made Move to Amend part of their work. In other words, for example, in Maine, we had a group that says, look, we are the Mid-Coast Peace and Justice Center. We're not going to make Move to Amend the only thing we do, but we're going to make Move to Amend one of our actual program and project areas. So they have joined us as a partnering affiliate. In addition to that, we have several thousand organizations who have endorsed our efforts. Mm-hmm. That is to say that they said, we support you, we want you to succeed, but we can't put any staff or otherwise financial resources, but we want to endorse you anyway.
Right.
So by every objective measuring stick, our structure and our organization is growing. And now I want to go even deeper with you, Joanne, and tell you that in the short 2.5 years that we've really been going at it, we have helped over 500 communities pass local and city resolutions in support of our efforts. Many of them happened in Oregon. We have put it on the ballot in 28 jurisdictions, and that's super exciting because that's when local citizens actually are able to vote on it, not just convincing city council members, 5-7 city council members to take a vote, but put it before the entire jurisdiction of some city or county or even a state populace, an electorate. And every time we've done it, Joanne, we've won, usually by supermajorities. And get this, including in areas where Republicans outnumber Democrats plus Greens. In other words, we put it on the ballot in liberal areas, in conservative areas, in moderate areas. We've done it 28 times. Joanne, we've won 28 times.
Wow.
We haven't lost yet.
That's impressive. Wait, take a breath. Let me just say that's impressive.
Well, thank you, Joanne. And I think that the reason is because we at Move to Amend have learned how to message this so that it gets out of the traditional left-right jargon and actually gets to the up-down nature of what the 1% has done to us. And by doing it in a principled way, we find that we can get support even from people who we may not agree with on policy issues, but the principle of whether or not a corporation has constitutional rights, the principle of whether or not money is speech, we've got enough agreement that when we put that question before voters, we win.
Well, I have to say, David, I need to talk to people like you periodically, because then my cynicism kind of gets tapped down. And I realize that if people are working directly with people face to face, eyeball to eyeball, real change is still possible. So
I don't want to put you on the hook per se, but I want to extend a personal invitation to you to come on out to Portland yourself. If you've got free time, and honestly, again, like I feel a little bit sheepish to do it, but I know that my dear friend Lisa is likely not to be able to come on Saturday, but if you could come on Saturday during that slot, we'd love to just put you right in. I'd love to have you instead of as an interviewer, I'd love to have you as a panelist if that would work for you.
Well, we should talk about that off the air, because that same meeting that Lisa Loving is going to, I'm going to be going to as well.
So let's take that off the table. But you've got my cell phone. You and I need to talk off air so that we can have that conversation.
Well, I have to say I'm certainly excited about the potential. I'm much more excited about the potential now, and I didn't know enough about it, and so I have the privilege of, when I don't know enough, I can invite people to come on the air and I can learn along.
That's called judicious use of privilege.
That's right. That's right. That's right. I use my privilege intentionally. So,
I do the same thing as a white, mostly straight male.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. Right. You work your side of the street. I work my side of the street.
Right on, right on.
Maybe we'll have some great things happening. And so, David, people are going to come out of this convergence, and they're going to come out with specific tools that they can use locally to try to move this.
I want to take a moment, if I can, Joanne, because it wraps back into something else that you said.
Okay.
Our concrete trainings are organizing trainings. So the workshops are designed to be participatory training sessions where we teach each other how to build an organizing campaign to engage and educate both individuals and organizations within your community about Move to Amend, corporate personhood, and money as speech. It's designed to give techniques for reaching out to diverse constituencies in your community. I know that for a lot of people, and you know, as a white person, I'll just say honestly, a lot of well-intentioned white folks get caught up in, you know, white liberal guilt, and they're good people, but they don't know how to do respectful, collaborative outreach. So we're giving them the specific tools for best practices for how that can be done. Not saying that I'm an expert at it, but I'm saying I've got some history because I have done anti-oppression trainings. I've gone as a trainee, you know, to learn this, and I've spent, you know, a decade trying to learn the skills, and I've been, you know, and then I practice those skills, and you know, and guess what? I got better at it because I practiced them. How about that?
Yeah, imagine that, right?
You know, amazing thing. We also cover best practices for how to form a group, how to facilitate a meeting, how to conduct public outreach, how to grow your capacity. In other words, we do concrete participatory workshops that are actually designed not just to build the Move to Amend movement, which we obviously hope folks do, but I really want to lift up the fact that these techniques can be used whether you're working on an anti-war campaign, a campaign to stop a timber harvest plan, a campaign to stop the coal trains, that are amassing in the area.
Yes.
I mean, any kind of social movement work that you're doing, the Move to Amend concrete trainings would be directly applicable to the work that you do.
And so let me ask this question, David. So most of the activists that I know locally are extremely busy, right? I definitely see the value of the organizing training, and because that's applicable no matter what issues you're working on. So what's the case that you make that Move to Amend kind of overlays all the other issue work that people are involved in?
Thank you for both the question, but really how you ask that question, Joanne, because I want to answer it this way. If a listener is already saying, you know what, I am at or even beyond capacity, I can't
right.
take on even one more thing in any way, shape, or form, I would say, honestly, if you're already doing that, then I'm not going to make an appeal to you as that activist, other than to ask yourself, is corporate power part of the problem that you as an activist are dealing with?
Mm.
Because if the answer is yes, and 99 times out of 100 the answer is yes, then the Move to Amend can provide an analysis and some tools to actually help connect the work that you're already doing. In other words, we're not trying to poach activists and organizers. If there are activists and organizers who are already working on other issues or with other groups, we say keep doing that work, but we want to collaborate with you, right?
Right.
And we conduct ourselves in that manner. As you've heard me say, we have not only local affiliates but partnering affiliates, because we mm-hmm. really do collaborate and believe in power with rather than power over, and we conduct ourselves accordingly. But the other thing I want to really lift up is I know that there are KBOO listeners right now who actually probably agree with everything that they hear us talking about, Joanne,
right.
but have not yet jumped in because of the kind of cynicism.
Mm-hmm.
They say nothing matters. There's nothing that we can do.
Mm-hmm.
The corporatists and the militarists have such thorough control. The fascism is creeping in this country so much that there's no way to win.
Right.
If you, the listener, are feeling that way, you're really the person we want to come, because not only do we have an analysis, but we have a concrete campaign that can win. It's a 10 to 15 year time span, so there's no easy fix here, but it is a concrete campaign that is also designed to be transformational. Bluntly, Move to Amend as a nonviolent revolutionary movement, because we are going to transform the way the structure of our decision-making protocols go. So it's beyond an issue. It's about who rules in this country. When Move to Amend is successful, not if but when, then we will open up the opportunity for a completely different America. And frankly, the America that most of us thought we lived in when we were little kids, but then learned, oh, it actually isn't like that. We don't actually have liberty and justice and equality.
Right,
we thought
right,
we did.
Right.
We were propagandized to believe that we did. But every KBOO listener knows today this country is fundamentally racist, sexist, and class oppressive. Oh, and by the way, we're destroying the planet that we depend upon for life itself.
Right.
And this country and our policies are doing it. Well, if you want to do something about that, if you want to join a movement that is actually going to help to create liberty, justice, and equality, I lovingly and respectfully submit to you, Move to Amend is a fine place to get your butt involved.
I got to tell you, David Cobbs, I don't know. There's nothing else to add to this particular portion of my program today. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to be on today. And again, it is movetoamend.org. But you can also go to either the KBOO website or to the Facebook Voices from the Edge site. I will be contacting you, David, after this show to figure out how I can get involved this weekend. It definitely sounds like a worthwhile event. So thank you so much for the work that you're doing.
Well, thank you for the individual work that you're doing as a volunteer programmer on KBOO. And I just want to give a shout out. I know that KBOO is going through some stuff right now. And I just want to say, remember that we love each other, even where we're going to have some disagreements.
That's right.
And we're going to have some serious disagreements here, right? But we still love each other.
Hey,
that's what movements do. We hold on to each other through the rough stuff.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Hold on to each other.
Well, Dave, you keep doing what you're doing. And I will contact you after the show and we will connect. You have a fabulous day and thank you so much for taking time to talk with us.
Much love to you. Bye now.
Same to you. Bye now. I want to take a moment and let you know that this KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Melhurst University, the University for Grownups, where it's never too late to earn a bachelor's or master's degree to achieve your dreams. Adults of all ages choose Melhurst to gain knowledge from professors who practice what they teach. Now enroll for fall term. Information at melhurst.edu/KBOO. And also, I want to let you know that this Sunday will mark the 10th year since Kendra James was shot and killed by Portland police officer Scott McAllister. And there will be a community memorial on Sunday, May 5th at 5 p.m., and it will take place at the Greater Faith Baptist Church, located at 931 North Skidmore, which is right across the street from where she was shot and killed 10 years ago. It's absolutely amazing to think that it's been 10 years. But so hopefully you will join us there. And I want to make sure you know that Reggae Bob is going to be part of a program on Thursday, May 9th from 7 to 10:30 p.m. at Fontaine Blue, a new club located at 3rd and Northeast Broadway. There will be a happy birthday to Mr. Stevie Wonder, a tribute to Gil Scott-Heron. And, of course, mothers will be honored. The first 20 moms will get a red rose. Well, I don't know what color it is. They'll get a rose. Don't hold them to the red rose part. So that's what's coming up. And then I'm going to switch to part two of our program today. It is my pleasure to have here in the studio a special guest. I want to welcome. First I want to start by saying today I had planned to do a program that would be on fluoridation. I invited both sides of the fluoridation debate to come and talk about the pros and cons of fluoridation. We know this week voters just got their voters pamphlet. Ballots are about to be hit the mailbox almost immediately. And so the goal was to have both sides come on and talk about Measure 26151, which is the one that will ask voters to answer the question of, shall Portlanders fluoridate its drinking water supply? I was surprised to not hear back from the proponents of fluoridation, but I am very thrilled to have in the studio Kelly Barnes, who is on the no side of the 26-151 campaign. Welcome to the studio, Kelly.
Thank you.
It is my pleasure to have you here today. So I just wanted our listeners to know, during campaign season, we always invite both sides to come on. And if one side chooses not to, then we get to decide whether or not we move on with the other side. So welcome. Thank you for being here today. I have my voters pamphlet right here. There are lots of pages in here about Measure 26151. And Kelly, I know that you think that this is a bad idea. And so would you give me the short version of why you think Portlanders should be voting no on this measure?
Absolutely. And just to let your viewers know, so I'm a physical therapist. I'm also a volunteer for Clean Water Portland. I've been looking at this issue for about a decade when there was statewide legislation pending. And our campaign believes that we should not knowingly add fluoridation chemicals to our drinking supply when clearly the data shows and supporters agree that there are also contaminants of lead and arsenic and chromium and other heavy metals. If the ultimate goal is improving the health for our kids, then we shouldn't knowingly do this when the EPA has been clear there are no safe levels for arsenic and lead. In addition, and important to me as a physical therapist, the emerging science shows a reasonable basis for concern of the policy. The National Academy of Sciences study in 2006 identified subpopulations of individuals at risk. Those include infants for formula use with fluoridated water, individuals with thyroid disease, kidney disease, diabetes, And also, if you look in the pamphlet that you have in front of you, even prior city commissioner Mike Lindbergh has been told locally by his MD internist that he cannot drink fluoridated water. So there are individuals at risk for the policy. And even more importantly, the emerging data, even the recent SMILE 2012 survey, that the data wasn't released by the state until there was a media request, shows that we're already doing better in Portland with our alternatives, such as First Tooth Program, which is federally funded, and other initiatives like Healthy Kids, Healthy Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a short, sweet, direct answer. I appreciate that. I also realize that for some reason there is a lot of misinformation that people are trying to wade through as they're attempting to decide on this measure. I think most people probably know by now that this was fast-tracked and there was a city council vote. And so maybe if you could tell people how this ended up on the ballot, are you familiar with that process?
I am. I mean, there's a couple steps. I mean, obviously, our campaign gathered over 43,000 signatures in less than a month to put this to vote. So that happened very quickly because there was a lot of public concern about the policy. Mm-hmm. And then we were supposed to vote on this when we gathered the signatures for May of 2014.
That's right.
That was fast-tracked up by a year. Randy Leonard supported that decision. However, Commissioner Amanda Fritz did not. And one of the primary reasons for that is that we need to look at things like the rate increase. It's an open-ended bill at this point in time. And there are other issues such as the emerging science. In other cities, they actually gathered independent reviews of scientists to look at the policy and the lack of safety and effectiveness and the cost to consumers for the policy. And we did not allow that here on this fast-track vote. So here we are without as much time to educate our citizens on these important facts.
Well, there is one thing I noticed, which was that the measure in the voters' pamphlet is really silent on the cost. And so as the public, it makes you wonder because it has a little note that says something about the measure funds fluoridation through water user fees.
Correct. So essentially, this will be funded by our water rate prices going up. So those of us that use water, the rates will increase. And we know that this puts people in lower income at significant risk. So that's one issue. In addition, if you look at the language of that, it's an open-ended bill. It is not yet defined. And there are many aspects that even according